Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubicon.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Town Hall. Today, I am super excited to have Eric Hudson, CEO of Preserve, as my guest today. Preserve is changing the landscape of our everyday household products. And when it comes to upcycling and single-use plastics, they're doing it all different. I'm so honored that Eric is here with us. So thank you so much for coming on.
It's great to be here, Amy. Thanks for having me.
So where did the idea for Preserve come from? You know, walk me through your professional background a little bit. And where do you think sparked your passion for environmental sustainability?
You bet. A little bit of my professional background. I worked at Fidelity for about 6 years back in the 80s. And I just realized that I really needed to do something more and hopefully start my own business. So I went and got my MBA at Babson in the early 90s. And they really instill in you a desire to start your own company. So long story short, I left Babson with a great desire to start my own company. I also had some entrepreneurship in my background. My grandparents had started a company. And coming into the early 90s, there was a lot of recycling going on. And I felt a need to create products made from these recycled materials, along with a passion to start a company that I could feel great about going to work for every day. And laced in with a background, Amy, of growing up in the Berkshires and the Berkshire Hills and out in nature and really just loving doing things outdoors and in the environment. Those three or four things came together to help me have the passion to start a company that could make a difference in the world, that could show that products could be lighter on the earth and fantastic to use. And we launched Preserve, or Recycline Inc., its corporate name, back in 1996.
So, you know, let's talk about the approach to the life cycle of your products. And we're talking everything from toothbrushes and razors to food storage. You know, how do you come up with something, source the materials, produce and package in a sustainable way?
The product ideas really come from, how can we create something in everybody's everyday life that can think about materials, think about systems differently, and really ultimately try to impact and reduce the impact of that product in its use and in its disposal and in its creation. So we look at someone's life and say, you know, where are the things that you're using that are either in your house or out in the world that are single use that can be made more sustainably? And hopefully that, you know, really everyone has a need for. For instance, a toothbrush, something that we hope everybody uses every day, or potentially cutlery out in the world, either in takeaway or at a cafeteria that, you know, many, many people or almost everyone in the world reaches a cafeteria out in their life, whether that's at a fast food restaurant or a retail cafe, or at a university or a corporate cafeteria. So we look for those products that, you know, everyone has access to, everyone has a need for, and that also are items that we can introduce, you know, new systems around sustainability, potentially around reuse or sourcing recycled materials and providing a take back program for when people are done with that product.
So talk to me about the take back program. I mean, it's such a differentiator, the Gimme Five program. It's a really tangible and easy to understand way of, you know, closing the loop for the consumer. So walk me through that.
Thanks, Amy. Yeah, no question. when we started Preserve, making products out of recycled materials was the number one step. And we also challenged ourselves to say, all right, but when you're done with that product, consumers, or what we like to call our preservers, really have an interest to turn their used product into something else. So that second step of post-use, you know, taking care of that product was essential for our business mission. So we started Preserve with a take back for the toothbrush product, and that was primarily done by mail. And then in addition, every single use product that we make, we challenge ourselves to say, okay, how is this going to fit in the Gimme Five program? So those Gimme Five activity of a preserver recycling their product post-use, if it can happen in curbside, fantastic. If it can't, like a toothbrush, which has bristles that are not made of recycled polypropylene, but virgin nylon, that makes it a more challenging recycling product. And we need to bring that product back at Preserve and take the special care that's needed to either separate materials or, you know, process like materials together, like the polypropylene separate from the nylon bristles, if that's essential. In addition, we also introduced the Gimme Five program to retail partners. Whole Foods Market and Park Slope Food Co-op, actually in Brooklyn, was where we started the program. But with Whole Foods, we've extended the program nationally. And I want to say in its heyday, prior to the pandemic and prior to some real recycling challenges in the last year, we had Gimme Five almost at every Whole Foods Market. And you could bring back not only your Preserve products, but any number five plastics you couldn't recycle in your town, as well as the cutlery that we offer at the Whole Foods cafeterias. Amy, it's a long story about what's happening with the recycling industry. The Gimme Five program is in a path of kind of rebirth right now and regeneration. And we believe that there's a, you know, a strong future for it, both in direct-to-consumer mailback programs, as well as retail site collection, as well as business-to-business, primarily number five or polypropylene item recycling.
Right. No, it makes total sense. And I think that from, you know, myself on the marketing side, it's a very unique marketing tool and sustainability story to tell. And that kind of brings me into my next question, because another really cool sub-product line is Poppy, or Popey, you know, the Preserve Ocean Plastic yes. Initiative. And we were talking, you know, before the call, I just got back from Cape Cod, and, you know, everybody's actually out on the beaches now. And this initiative is where new self-care products are being created out of potential ocean waste. And I think that's just an insanely cool concept. And I just need to know, you know, how did that come to fruition? How's the program going? Any idea on how much plastic you guys have saved, potential ocean waste?
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for teeing that up. We love the Poppy program. It's been in existence since we started it in 2018. And in essence, we looked at the ocean health, plastic waste, plastic pollution problem. And we said, how can Preserve help? We researched it for a year prior to launch. So it really started in 2017. And realized that, you know, Preserve is more geared for prevention versus remediation, you know, sort of two big buckets of how do you stop the plastic pollution problem. You know, another big bucket is upstream redesign, and that certainly needs to happen. And I think a lot of companies are doing that. But as it relates to prevention, we are taking steps with partners to stop the flow of plastics into the ocean. And what's termed ocean-bound plastics is basically one of the key feeders of plastics into the ocean. You know, other key feeders are when a tanker, you know, has a spill of a pallet of plastic products. That's another place. But the primary feed of plastic into the ocean is coming through rivers and coastal communities where plastics are blowing around and finding their way through a river or straight into the ocean from the beach. So with partners, and Preserve as a penchant for partnerships, we love, you know, extending our mission with the abilities and value creation of other partners. With partners, we're able to hire pickers, hire people who are out there basically picking up trash in coastal communities or in tributaries to rivers, and bringing those plastics in and bringing them up to preserve partner in California and grinding up this material and turning it into a material for our poppy razor and our poppy toothbrush. And when we sell those products, we give 25% of our proceeds to nonprofits that are working to stop the flow of plastics into the ocean or researching the harm created by plastics in the ocean and trying to get the word out and the science out so that people can understand how to make a difference. And I'll just highlight one of our key partners is Five Gyres. Five Gyres is an exceptional nonprofit, and we really love supporting their research and the advocacy work that they do to really stop, you know, plastic pollution affecting the health of our oceans.
I love what you said about partnerships and how, you know, we can leverage these partnerships to make real difference. Preserve was like a pretty fellow early B Corp, 2011, right? Was your certification?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you. I do my research. So it was, you know, an early certification. And I ask a lot of people what B Corp certification means to them, especially if they're, you know, recently certified. But Preserve, I found, has pledged along with a bunch of other B Corps and partners to go net zero by 2030. Our show is targeted towards people who want to do better, but may not know all the intricacies of sustainability. So for those unfamiliar with what that means, will you break down what that commitment looks like?
Absolutely. So first of all, 500 B Corps stepped forward and said, we will be net zero by 2030. Awesome, awesome movement, awesome commitment by these partners in this program and initiative and commitment. Needless to say, governments, people, towns, states, and private enterprises need to take these steps to reduce our carbon emissions on our planet. That is the primary way that we're going to start to abate climate change that's happening every day. What this commitment means is, in our business, we are committing to having zero carbon footprint, zero carbon emissions in our operations throughout our entire supply chain and feed to the market and throughout all of our the products production. The key difference between climate neutral and net zero, I'll explain in a second. But right now, Preserve has already accomplished carbon neutrality and has been climate neutral certified by an organization called Climate Neutral. So what that simply means is we have looked at all the emissions in 2020, last year, for which we have all of our records, and we have bought carbon credits for every CO2 emission that's happened in the production and delivery of our products to bring us down to a carbon neutrality, or basically compensating for any carbon that we've emitted by buying a carbon credit. Net zero, which we're seeking to accomplish far before 2030, but committed by 2030, is to also incorporate into that program I just described steps to reduce our emissions. So that's kind of the key difference between carbon neutral and net zero. Not only are we offsetting, but we're also taking steps to reduce that carbon that we're emitting every day, every week of our business.
You know, I was going to just kind of skip through my list. And like I said earlier, I ask a lot of the newly certified B Corps what their certification means to them. But I'm curious, you know, you're a very eloquent speaker, and I know that you've gotten a lot out of your B Corp certification. What does being a B Corp mean to you and to the Preserve team?
Thanks. It's really one of those things that's kind of hard to define because it really makes us up now. It's part of our DNA. You know, just to say it, Amy, before we applied and, you know, joined the B Corp community, we knew we were a B Corp. We knew that everything that B Corp stood for is what we stood for. So, you know, Preserve started before B Lab started B Corps. And our COO now works at B Lab, our former COO at Preserve now works at B Lab. So everything that makes up a B Corp, you know, we stood strongly before 2011. So going into it, we knew it was like, okay, this is really a movement that has begun. And now, you know, Preserve is going to raise our flag along with all these other B Corps and join this bigger movement of a number of companies banding together, saying that, you know, we stand for creating, simply put, social value along with, you know, the financial performance that we need to be a financially sustainable company. So it's really hard to separate for us. It means a great deal to us. You know, there's kind of like, there's no way that Preserve would go into a year questioning whether we want to go through the certification process or not. It is a primary goal and activity of Preserve, not only to submit our, you know, questionnaire and certification submission, but also to take those key steps every quarter to continue to try to get that that score lower and lower. You know, that's competitive. People want to be out there going, oh my God, look where I am compared to seventh generation. What can I do to improve Preserve score? So it's certainly, you know, a fun element of our business as it relates to measuring the, you know, the steps that we're taking to continue to create more and more social value at Preserve.
Everyone on season 4 of the show, all of you lucky guys, are being asked this question. I find it so fascinating because everybody has somewhat of a different answer. I'd be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity. Let's talk about the pandemic a little bit and some of those challenges. How did Preserve pivot and adapt? How were you guys affected by COVID-19?
We were brutally affected. Certainly late March, April, May were the worst 70 days I've had at Preserve, most challenging days I've had. And worse is, I don't know, it's not the great best word. I love coming to Preserve every day. Those days, I'm not going to say I ever like didn't want to go to work. It was just more, you know, how many things do I have to get done that are helping the survival of this company when I go to work today? So less fun days, let's put it that way. We lost half of our business going into April of 2020. So our entire food service side of our business, you know, really not shut down, but the customer said, we don't need you right now. So we had to learn to survive with half of our revenues for many months. And we, you know, in typical B Corp fashion, working with a lot of fantastic partners and companies, we relied on their support. We relied on their ability to help us renegotiate contracts and agreements and rely on their understanding that, you know, if we worked through this in a good way, hopefully Preserve will be here 5 or 6 months from now. We can regain our business. And we're incredibly grateful for the support that these partners have given us. We worked really hard, Amy, to reduce key operating expenses. We had to lay off one individual. And the beautiful thing is, you know, we had beers with him about 6 months later, and he had gotten through with help from the government, like so many people, but then had gotten a new job in a pandemic-related product. So he had really no financial impact. And it was just great to see, like, what was my most difficult position of laying off my highest salaried employee turned out okay. So I could go on because it really affected our business, but I know we have a short show, and please just know that, you know, is really the support of our partners and the hard work of the Preserve team that enabled us to get through, I think, right? We're almost through this thing, the pandemic, and to rebuild stronger. That was a key thing for us to, you know, look at our business, where we have more profitable channels, emphasize those. And where we're losing revenues and business, how can we reposition to gain that back post-pandemic?
My mom always says, like, every problem is an opportunity in disguise. And it obviously, this was a major problem for a lot of people. But what I've seen, at least in my community, which I think will translate hopefully into, again, more consumers that kind of want to close the loop and make more sustainable choices, is because we were all home for so long, there was so much emphasis on our self-care products. And I think, you know, so much emphasis on grocery delivery and getting things like that with single use. So I know a lot of my friends and neighbors and colleagues, everybody started to look at those things a little differently, which is actually how we found Preserve.
Awesome. Yeah, right on. Absolutely. People started to look at the amount of single-use plastic products that we had to kind of re-engage with in the volumes that we had to in the pandemic and said, okay, I get that I've got to use this now, but boy, do we need to start working on making these better. So if it's turning a, you know, a styrene fork from China into a fork that's made out of captured carbon dioxide and can benignly biodegrade after a single use and have zero carbon footprint, that's the rethinking that we got to start doing. So that, I mean, that's a very small part of the issues of the pandemic, of course, but that's really the key areas that Preserve is focused on.
So going back to that, I mean, you know, our listeners, like I said, are people who are trying to live more sustainably, but may not know where to start and may not even, you know how to find products like this. What advice would you give somebody who wants to start a more green journey?
I think I'd look in a few different ways at your life. I think I'd say in three or four buckets, where can you reduce your impact, right? The key areas are, how do you transport yourself? How do you eat? How do you climatize your home? And then the fourth would be where we are in consumer products. And the first three are, I think people are pretty knowledgeable about how do they reduce their impact. Can I bike to work or can I take a train versus driving in stop and go traffic? You know, can I eat more veggies versus beef? And can I find a better way to climatize my home that has less impact, you know, choosing electrification for one over fossil fuels? And as it relates to the consumer products area, there's a number of venues that you can really kind of either find products or sort through. For instance, Grove Collaborative, great partner of ours. You know, their primary goal is to offer fantastic products that are low impact for more healthy lifestyles. Or some of the badges that are available, the certifications that are available, like Climate Neutral or Be Certified when you're searching on Amazon. And then I'd say probably the fifth bucket is to say, how can you volunteer? How can you be more active? And as we all know, you know, focusing locally, if we all focused locally, globally, we'd reduce, you know, impact in a dramatic way. If everybody could say, how can I help my town get to carbon neutral? Many towns have these, you know, sustainability programs and green initiatives going on where they're really trying to take action to reduce the carbon footprint of their overall town. And that's a great place for people to volunteer.
I love that. Okay, before we wrap up, you're not getting out that easy. I wanted to play our rapid fire game with you. I'm just going to fire off 10 easy questions and you answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go. Okay, number one, what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine, what does it look like? I'm trying to figure out how quickly I can get on my bike to bike to work.
What is one item you don't leave the house without?
Water bottle. And not a single use, sorry, a reusable water bottle.
I think we all could assume that. What is one lesson you learned over the last 18 months during the height of the pandemic?
How to be as resourceful as possible with what you have.
What was the first concert you ever went to?
Santana, big venue, but small venue was Muddy Waters.
What is one staple that's always in your fridge?
Kale.
What's the last movie that you watched?
Black Widow, in a theater for the first time in 2 years.
Wow. Okay, back to it. What are you reading right now?
Utopia Avenue. Sorry, spacing on the name. Fabulous book.
If you had a talk show, who would your first guest be and why?
I got to say Elon Musk, just because he's so controversial and interesting. I want to pick his brain.
What's one thing you do to relax?
Stretching and yoga.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Looking back and realizing that whatever I did with the people I'm with and working with, we've made a positive difference in the world. I hate to be so, you know, altruistic, but I think that's the answer.
So where can our listeners find products and find out more about all of the awesome work that you guys are doing?
Gotta be preserve.eco.
I love the .eco.
So do I. Thanks. When we were first getting into it, it was really just, you know, no one was doing it. And we were like, is this going to take off? But then I'm an advisor on a company and I looked at their website. I was like, .eco, just randomly. I was like, it really is taking off. It's fantastic.
I love it. And we are so lucky to have industry influencers like you fighting the good fight against single use. Products, obviously, like Preserved, make it a lot easier for all of us to make more sustainable choices. So thank you so much, Eric, for coming on today.
Amy, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.